Say that we're glad to be here this morning. Appreciate the privilege and opportunity to be here today. Glad to see you. Know that it things probably a little rough outside. Not as bad as they could have been, what we understand, but nonetheless, we appreciate the privilege, appreciate you being here. I can honestly say, as many times as I've been coming this way, I've come with less traffic this morning than any time I've ever been. I wasn't no, and believe it or not, you can make it quicker. That's 75 included. There wasn't no, this wasn't no traffic today. Not going north. We like to say that we, I appreciate, again, the privilege and opportunity to be here. Appreciate what our heart's been made to feel. We're going to read some scripture this morning out of the book of Exodus, the 24th chapter and the 34th chapter. There's a lot of things that I guess comes your way on your journey. I've been privileged to pastor this church. This is my third time. And I've been privileged to pastor some of you fathers and mothers, and some of you grandfathers and grandmothers. And I appreciate that. I have a lot of memories, a lot of good memories about Mountain View Baptist Church. And you get to thinking that things don't change much, but the truth of it is they do change. They do. We change. People changes. We change with the times. We want things easier, more convenient. We getting them. We want to be educated and smart. Nothing wrong with that. But there's one thing that will never change. Never, ever. Happened from the beginning. That's the Lord. Yeah. It says in one place, it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He changeth not. Amen. He changeth not. And he went on to say in that scripture, he said, therefore, your children of Israel, you Israel, shall not be consumed. For he was God. He told Moses in one place, he says, am I not able of these stones to raise me up children that will what? That will worship me. I'm glad we still got people that worship him today. I'll say this, I'm glad to be one of them. I really am. There's, I could say a lot this morning, probably before I preach, but I don't know. Just a lot of things cross your heart and your mind. I look a lot. I see a lot. It's amazing how many times you can go down the road and how many new churches. They are new ones.
Yeah.
They ain't never heard of them. Some of them probably been around a little while. Some of them probably come from out west. Just to be honest with you. And they brought their belief with them. You can believe what you want, but our founding fathers, even of this United States of America, recognized that there was a God.
Yeah.
They recognized it. We're recognized as a nation that believes there is a God. No matter how people carry on and how they act, you can talk to about anybody you want to talk to. Most, you run across a few. I know a preacher that was a confirmed atheist. And he told me one day, he said, I didn't believe in God. He said, I just didn't. He said, and I was strong advocate that there was no God. He said, you wouldn't believe what I was reading when the Lord dealt with me. He said, I was reading a newspaper. God can get a hold of you.
Yeah.
He can make a believer out of you. You say, preacher, that don't even make good sense. Happened to him. His testimony. God gets your attention. There's so many. I ain't got the answer. I don't have the answer. I know that one day things were so wicked that God destroyed this earth by the way of water. And I know in that day that we'll probably read the remainder of that chapter. Then we're going to read some out of the 34th chapter. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone, and a law, and commandments, which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. Now, did you hear that verse? Moses, come up to me, and I will give thee tables of stone, and a law, and commandments, which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua. And Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day, he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. 34th chapter. We'll start with the first verse. Just bear with us. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first. And I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor herds feed before the mount. And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto the Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. And he said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us. For it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. And he said, behold, I made a covenant before all thy people. I will do marvels, such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. Observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and go, and they go a whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice, and thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go a whoring after their gods. Thou shalt make thee no molten gods. The feast of unleavened bread shalt thou keep 7 days. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread as I commanded thee in the time of the month of Abib. For in the month of Abib thou camest out from Egypt. All that open the matrix is mine, and every firstling among thy cattle, whether ox or sheep, that is male, but the firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou redeem him not, then shalt thou break his neck. All the firstborn of thy sons thou shalt redeem, and none shall appear before me empty. I'm not going to read the rest. I could, but that's as far as I'll go this morning. I don't know altogether. So I've already said what we'll do, what we're going to do, but I've got a thought. Just pray that the Lord will send what we stand in need of this morning. This is some wonderful scripture, some blessed scripture, some scripture that Moses got from the Lord in the beginning, some instructions that God told him when he come up on the mount. So I read in your hearing in the 24th chapter, I read the first time that he come up on the mount, and I'm 34th chapter, I read to you the second time that he had come up on the mountain. And things was different the second time than they were the first, and rightfully so. And Moses himself asked the Lord for forgiveness for him and that of the people, my friend, that God wouldn't destroy them. I want to talk to us this morning just a little bit. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us. I want to talk this morning about a cloudy day. A cloudy day. A cloud. The Bible says here in that other scripture, if you'll remember, when they come out of Egypt, the Bible says that they was sent or carried by a cloud by day and a fire by night. A cloud by day and a fire by night. And you'll read, I read to you, brethren, in both instances that Moses went up on the mountain, my friend, there was a cloud present. There was a cloud. You say, preacher, what was in that cloud? The Lord was in that cloud. The Bible says that he descended, my friend, as a cloud. Now, I don't want you to get tore up today in a manner, my friend. I'm not looking for a cloud, but I want to talk about a cloudy day. Every one of us that's sitting here, my friend, we need a cloudy day. We do as individuals. Brethren, we need a day that we know that God is present. In our lives. Yes, sir. In our lives. Can't worry about it. You say, preacher, I'm worried about this and I'm worried about that. My friend, you can worry all you want to. You won't have a cloudy day. You won't do it.
Why? Because God, my friend, will not overcome your thoughts unless you bring your thoughts unto Him. That's the way it works. Now I'm going to talk to us a little bit about a cloud. The cloudy day. Brethren, the best thing that ever happened to that of Moses was that he went in the cloud. When he got in the cloud, God gave him instructions. Did he not? It meant, it represented that God's presence was with them. Yes, sir. Bible said when that cloud was on the mountain that not even a man could touch it. No, sir. Or the Lord would thrust him through. New Testament will tell you that. They come to this cloud. They come to the mountain that, brethren, they could not touch. We're not there today, but, brethren, they lived in a cloudy day. Yes, sir. The time of the law, my friend, whether you'll have it or not, was cloudy. Yes, sir. It was a darker day. Yet, there was light. Did you know that the sun is still shining today? You go outside, you see a bunch of clouds. Yeah, but it's still shining. Yes, sir. It's just above. Yes, sir. Have you ever been in a plane and got above the clouds? Have you ever been in one, my friend, and they just tell you, they say, just hang on, we're going to have to raise up. We got to get above this storm. It's amazing. It is. It'll amaze you. Brethren, how God can take a cloud, my friend, and destroy so much of the earth. He can do it. He can do it. Why, preacher? Because God's in the cloud. I can prove it to you. Bible says he has his way in the whirlwind. Yes, sir. You say, preacher, you think God has his way in the clouds today? You better believe I do. You better believe I do. You may think, I remember years ago, my friend, that everybody in the world building them shelters. Building them shelters under the ground. Had so many storms coming through. Yes, sir, tearing up houses, tearing up people, killing people. Listen, but brethren, I got news for you. God got your number. He's going to get you. Thank God, don't matter where you are. Preacher, you can't preach that. I didn't think I could, but I'm going to. Yes, sir. I got news for you. Brethren, there was a family right yonder in Jasper, Georgia. And I ain't got no qualms. I ain't got no way of telling you, my friend, the condition of that family. They might have been as righteous could be. But the Bible strictly tells us that he reigns on the just and the unjust alike. Amen. Yes, sir. He causes that sun to shine on the good and the evil. You look at the evil that's going on, my friend, and thriving today, and you'd think God would just wipe it away. But in wiping away some of the evil, he gets good. This family, my friend, built them a shelter. They is inside that shelter. There is six people inside that shelter, my friend. And the tornado come through. It, my friend, it wouldn't hit their exact area, but the lightning got them. You hear me? You hear me? That's in our day. You say, preacher, God ain't got his hand in the weather like you think he does. Oh, yes, he does. Yes, he does. You don't think he controls. Brethren, if you don't think God's in control, brethren, of the earthly things, how in the world can you believe he's in control of the spiritual things today? He controls it both. Yes, sir. You don't think, my friend, this earth is his? You don't think he created it? You say, preacher, they've got theories about everything. They most certainly do. I've said this before, but I listened for 30 minutes to a professor, my friend, and both these men were professors, and they had 1 hour. One of them had 30 minutes, and another one had 30 minutes. And I listened to them, and the first one got up, and he talked about global warming. And brethren, he told you everything that was going to happen and why we was going to have global warming. Brethren, when he finished, there's another one got up, and you know what he talked about for 30 minutes? He talked about how we was going back to the ice age. Yes, sir. Convincing. Proof, my friend. Both of them had proof, my friend, of how things was going to happen. I got news for you. You can have your theory all day long, and I'll promise you it'll be God that has control. Amen. Always has. Brethren, he always will. Why in the world did he call Moses up on the mountain to give him some instructions if he didn't have control? Hallelujah! He is God, and there is no other today. No, sir. It's a cloudy day. Yes, sir, I'm glad. Bible says that he took Joshua, his minister, with him the first trip. Yes, sir. Took him up there. I don't know how close he was, my friend, when him and God was communing for 40 days and 40 nights. But I'm persuaded, my friend, that Moses didn't eat and drink nothing. I don't think he did either. Glory, hallelujah! He is in the presence of God, Steve. God used Joshua. We know that by reading the Word of God. Have you ever had a cloudy day? Have you ever had a day you can get that church hymnal, wherever it is, my friend, throughout the church? You can get in there and you'll look in there and there's a title in there of a song that says, "We love to be with God, Jesus, all alone." All alone. There are days. That's what it says. There are days I like to be with the Lord all alone. All alone. I'm going to tell you something, folks. When you get all alone with him, that's a good cloudy day, thank God. Yes, sir. I don't care what shape you're in. If you're praying to God and looking for him to hear you, Thank God it's a cloudy day this morning. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thick. Yes, sir. The presence of God. That's what, brethren, they looked at. That's what they knowed. He come down in a cloudy pillar. It happened when they built the tabernacle and Moses and Aaron went in. Thank God the cloud filled it. Hallelujah. You ain't gonna get nowhere without God this morning. I ain't lost my mind. You say, preacher, I don't know about that, brethren. Have you ever just walked along, my friend, and felt him at your side? Hadn't you? Have you ever just been going down the road? And brethren, he just lets you know, Bruce, he loves you. Huh? He thinks about you. We ain't just a bunch of robots running around. No, sir. We got life. He knows we got life. Brethren, we've got things that needs fixing in our lives, and I want you to know he can help you in whatever situation you're in. I don't care what it is. You say, preacher, I don't know about that. You get in trouble, you'll learn some things. Amen. Do you know that? You get in trouble and seek the Lord's way out, he'll show you he's got rule over everybody. Amen. Everybody and everything, and it'll go just like he showed you it'd go. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I don't care what you think. My friend, we think sometimes because certain things happen to certain people, they must have been evil or they must have done something. That ain't the way God works. That ain't the way he works. Can I tell you something? This first trip, when they come down after the first trip, folks, the children of Israel had done, went a-whoring after other gods. That's what he said they'd do. Yes, sir. That's what they done. Preacher, don't use that word. My friend, that's what God said. He said, how could he say that? Because he was God. Because they was his people. Brethren, they went after a molten calf. Said, let this be the God that delivered us out of Egypt. Exactly what they said. Yes, sir. I'm going to tell you something. They didn't pay much attention to that cloud. They worked on Aaron. They worked on, you know, a lot of times we think, well, it just up and happens. It don't do that. It don't happen like that. I believe there was days, my friend, that they went and pressed Aaron. Where's Moses? Truth of it is, all Aaron knowed, he was up on that mountain. I ain't seen him. 40 days. I don't know the day. The Bible don't get into it, but I bet about 30 days they was getting anxious. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Hadn't seen him in a month. Huh? Don't know where he's at. Ain't heard from him. Yeah. Ain't seen him. Where is he? Yeah. Brethren, God called him up on the mountain. Listen, folks. He didn't tell him how long you'd be there. God can work things just that quick. But sometimes he takes 40 days. Do you know that? Sometimes he takes 40 days. You may think, well, preacher, that don't make good sense. It's not our time.
No.
Huh? It's not our time. It's his time.
Amen.
Yes, sir. His time. Brethren, these things today, my friend, round about our lives that we want God to move, and we want him to work, and we want him to do it right now.
Amen.
That's how we are. He about like my wife. Listen. God takes his time sometime, don't he? Can I tell you something? When Moses went up on that mountain the second time, do you know how long he was up there? 40 days. He kept him just like he did the first time. He told Moses on that second trip, he said, you hew me out 2 tables of stone. That's what he said. Bring them with you. I'm going to give you the laws and the commandments. Moses didn't know what was coming. But brethren, God in his infinite wisdom, thank God he made a plan for his people.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Now, I don't know whether you've ever had a cloudy day or not. Now, I'm going to say this, and you just bear with me. You'll find that scripture that I read unto you, and it's written in Numbers also, and it's written in other places. It's not written very much in the New Testament, but it is written in one place, and I quoted it. We've not come to the mount that cannot be touched. Where it said, if even a beast or a man touch the mountain, he is thrust through. That's what the New Testament says. We've not come to that place. No, sir. I want to talk to you about where we're living. Where we're living. We ain't under the dark. No, sir. We ain't in the night. We're in the day. Yes, sir. And things changed when Jesus came into this world. It does not take a cloud anymore.
Amen.
No, it don't. It don't take a cloud, my friend, for you to recognize that God is real. Why don't it? I'm going to say this. It got a little cloudy when old Peter, James, and John went up on the mountain Transfiguration. Wasn't no cloud. Cloud didn't come down. No, it didn't. No, Peter cried out. He said, Lord, it's good. He saw Jesus. He saw Moses. And he saw Elijah. Peter cried out. He said, it's good for us to be here. Let us build here 3 tabernacles. One for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you. Yes, sir. You know what? God heard that. God heard that. And you know what God did? He said, this is my son. He said, hear ye him.
Amen.
Is that not what he said? John the Baptist over there baptizing. Jesus showed up. When he showed up, the scripture says that there was a voice. Was they not? A voice. that come out and said, "This is my beloved Son, which take away the sin of the world." Behold, this is what John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Listen to me. Listen. Brethren, when they was there on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says that they was 120 in the upper room. 120 people in the upper room. What was they waiting on? What was they waiting for? What was they looking for? Brethren, they believed that Jesus Christ died, and they believed that on the third day he is risen again. And they believed, my friend, his preaching, where it said, "It's needful that I go away." He says, "For if I go not away, the Father will not send the Comforter." And he told his own disciples, and while they was gathered around, he said, "I pray the Father, my friend, that he'll send you the Comforter." The Comforter. What was they waiting on in the upper room? Brethren, they didn't see a cloud. They didn't have a cloud. But I want you to know the Holy Spirit came down, and the Bible said it set upon each one of them as cloven tongues of fire. Yeah. And they began to speak. Brethren, and God appeared, thank God, unto the people that was round about. Yes, sir. And the Spirit began to move. Now, I don't know about you. I can't talk for you. But I can tell you this morning, my friend, that I appreciate the Spirit of God. Amen. I appreciate the times that it visited me. That it has visited me, and that has instructed me, and it has led me, thank God, on my journey. And listen, folks, you can't get any better than that of the Spirit of God, because it is God this morning. Amen. I can preach that. I'm glad I can preach that. I'm glad I'm living in a time, my friend, of uncloudy day. Amen. Huh? Yes, sir. We talk about it. We sing about it. There's one in the church hymnal. Talks about the uncloudy day. Now, I know what they looking out yonder. They thinking that's coming after a while. You say, "Preacher, you just told us that the Lord had in charge of the earth and everything. It's cloudy outside." Brethren, if you ain't got the gist of the message, you ain't going to get it.
Amen.
It's the Spirit of God that makes a difference. Is it not, folks? You know as well as I know, brethren, if a man gets up and preaches, whether or not he's got the Spirit of God or not, you can tell. You can discern. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. A preacher don't get as far as he wants to get all the time. He don't do it. Now, boys, if you've got it figured out, I'd like to hear it from you. But I got news for you. I ain't got it figured out. Amen. They sometimes, my friend, that I've got what I know I've got, my friend, and I just can't bring it out.
Amen.
You know what I mean? Yes, you do. Glory to God. But, brethren, that don't stop me from trying again, Brother Jeff. Hallelujah. Amen. Brethren, When God passes by, thank God, it don't matter what your name is. Do you know that? No matter how you look, you don't worry about my friend. No, sir, you don't worry about him. Bruce, listen, you say, preacher, y'all, you mean to tell me you don't get where you want to get every time? You better believe I don't.
Amen.
I about figured out, my friend, that God give me was for me. Best thing I can do is eat it.
Yeah.
And get on down the road.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You wouldn't believe me if I told you. The real truth of it is I don't give you everything I've got. Do you know that? Sometimes. Then there's sometimes, my friend, I can't help but to give you all. Just give it all. Sometimes. But today, my friend, I talked to you about a cloudy day. Moses had some. Did he not? The Bible says when that cloud come down and they was in the tabernacle, that every man stood in his tent's door. They observed. What did they observe, preacher? They observed that the cloud was in the mist. The second time he went on that mountain, he told him specifically, he said, you tell them not to come on this mountain, to get their herds, their cattle, and their sheep, and get them off this mountain. Get them off of it. Why is that? Because God's presence was coming down. Can I tell you something, folks? You ought to cherish the time that God spends with you. You ought to.
Amen.
You ought to recognize. Now, I'm going to say this. You might think I've really lost my mind. But I'm going to say this. The Lord's worked in my life. And the truth of it is, it took me a little bit, my friend, to figure out it was Him.
Yeah.
I can't explain it. I know Him. I feel Him. But, brethren, there's just times, and I have learned by experience, my friend, how God works in my life. It's helped me. It's helped me to come to terms with some things. Yes, sir. Have you ever prayed for things, my friend, that just got worse? Huh? Yeah. Just got worse. And got worse. And you get to wondering, my friend, Lord, where are you? Lord, where are you? How are you going to fix this? You say, preacher, why'd you ask him that? Because he told me he would. Huh? He told me he would. And you know what Randy is looking for? Randy looked for him to fix it. Can I tell you, my friend, he did. He didn't know my days, didn't know my terms, but brethren, he fixed it. And the truth of it is, Steve, when he fixes it, it's fixed. It's done. It's over. Brother Frank Owens left this world sitting right here. Second man over. Clinton Lonsford was sitting there, and he was sitting right there. He left this world. He left this world, folks. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. Something happened that night that I ain't never seen in my life. Now, you can believe whatever you want to believe. It doesn't matter to me. I know what the Lord showed me. Leroy, I'm standing right here. And they is trying to revive Frank. Leroy standing right next to me. I looked over and I told him, I said, Leroy, I said, he gone. He's gone. Glory to God, he's gone. I can shout about it. Thank God, I know where the man went. Thank God. Preacher, you don't really know. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I really do. Leroy looked at me and he said, I know it. I know it. They's doing what they is taught to do. I understand that. I really do. I understand that. And if it had been my daddy, I'd probably wanted to try to revive him too. But the truth of it is, when they're gone, folks. Amen. When they draw that last breath, my dad died November the 10th in 01. And about 5 minutes before he took his last breath, I stepped out. Stepped out of the room. There was my sisters and all their kids and my kids and everybody was around there. But I stepped out. I walked out in that parking lot. And I took me a little walk. One of my nephews run out there just as fast as he could. And he said, Randy, said he's going. That he's fixing to be gone. I said, brother, I know it. Yeah. I know it. Huh? God had just comforted me. Yeah. You hear me? He had just comforted me with my dad's situation. Daddy went in the hospital for an operation and wouldn't, it was serious, but it wasn't fatal, I guess is what best words to say. He had been recuperating for 3 days, doing just fine. I'd spent Saturday with him, sent Mama home for a while, most of the day. And I stayed with him that day and we talked a little bit. Me and my dad didn't talk. We didn't have no running conversations about a lot of things and we didn't. But I loved him. He loved me. Yeah. I did. I had my little old bookman over there, and it was the Word of God. And I was looking at it, and he asked me, he said, what are you looking at? I said, I'm looking at the Word. He said, you mean to tell me that that's got, I said, it's got the Bible on it. He said, I want to get me one of them. Had big letters on it. He could read them. Listen. Conversation, as far as the day went, there wasn't much more than that. We talked about a few things, and Daddy up and said something that never left me. He said, I never did figure out what was wrong with Grandma as his mother. Just out of the blue. That was what he said. That's all he said. They never did figure out what was wrong, Grandma. I'm going to tell you something. Daddy knowed something. Daddy knowed something. That was Saturday evening and Sunday evening, about 6 o'clock, he went cold blue. Don't ask me why. We asked the doctors, and they said, well, don't know. Said this happened, that happened. Said everything's shutting down. I'm going to say this. My dad knowed. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah. Lord showed him. You say, preacher, you really think that? I really think that. Last words, last time I ever talked to my dad was that Saturday. I didn't think it'd be the last time I'd see him. Stayed in the room with him overnight. Overnight, his everything about him was going away. Kidneys failing, all these other functions going away. Blood pressure just kept dropping. Nurses would come in there and they'd tell you, well, this is happening and that's happening. Ain't going to be long. Ain't going to be long. Listen to me. You say, preacher, you think God had that under control? I most certainly do. I believe he had it under control. I believe he had my dad in the palm of his hands. And I believe he looked at my dad as one of his. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Why would we want to bring him back? Walden Abernathy passed out in his living room. They called 911. He's gone. They revived him. When he come back, the very first words come out of his mouth. And I've had three of his sons tell me the same thing. He said, what did you bring me back for? What did you bring me back for? Think about it. Think about it. He never gave no great testimony about the things he saw. He never talked about, my friend, some of the revealings that he saw. Just wasn't that way. But he lived a few months after that. Preacher, what are you saying? I'm telling you, my friend, God was ready for him. Huh? A couple of months down the road, he took him.
Yes.
Jeff.
He did.
Took him. They wasn't no reviving. No. Listen, folks, you need a cloudy day. You need a day, my friend, when the Spirit of God is so thick that you can cut it. You need that. We need that. Them 120 that was in that upper room, they was waiting on something. They was. They was waiting on something. They did not know what they was going to get, but they was waiting. Listen to me. They knew when they got it.
Amen.
They knew when they got it. Folks, you don't have to tell people that they got saved. Do you know that? You don't have to put them words in their mouth. They'll know it. Won't they, Kraft? I don't care. I don't care what their age is.
Yeah.
Listen, they'll know without a doubt when the Lord saves them.
Amen.
It'll happen. A cloudy day. I'm not saying we're living under the cloud. I'm just saying a cloudy day. Moses had more than one. And so did the children of Israel. I hope you got something out of the message this morning. We appreciate you being here. Appreciate you coming. As far as Scripture's concerned and what went on and how we look at what the Lord has done, brethren, the day of Pentecost changed things. It changed things. They were still, as far as the social life and things are going on, they were still them that held on to the law and the workings of the law. They did. But the Spirit had come.
Amen.
It had come. And that's what the whole book of Acts, my friend, tells you about the workings. You say, preacher, it tells you about the workings of the disciples. No, it don't. It tells you about the workings of the Holy Spirit. That's what came. That's what
That's what the disciples were to preach. And they were to preach it to all men. And they spread out. It's what the first chapter of Acts will tell you. Anybody got anything need to say or do?